tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek.
Welcome back to another episode of Quick Charge. It's September 23rd, 2024, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We took a little bit of a hiatus last week visiting Volvo for Volvo Days in Shippensburg, PA. We'll put some links to that in the show notes as well. But we're going to start off this week the same way we start off most weeks, talking about Tesla. Today, Elon Musk claims that Tesla's robotaxi will be as cheap to ride as the bus. But Fred Lambert asks, does the math work? This weekend, Musk responded to a misleading claim that electric buses don't work in colder climates. The first part of his comment accurately explains that if electric buses are having issues in the winter, they simply weren't designed for it. But electric buses can certainly work in cold climates when appropriately designed for it. However, the second part of his statement is a bit more controversial. Here he says, buses will not be needed when Tesla rolls out unsupervised full self-driving, as they will take people from point to point for a similar cost to a bus ticket. Musk claims that Tesla's autonomous taxi service will be similarly priced to the bus ticket. For example, in New York City's MetroCard, which covers both local buses and subways, it costs $132 per month. And while the average daily transit commute in the city is reportedly 13 miles, that works out to 34 cents a mile. Interestingly, after Musk announced Tesla's plan to launch an autonomous driving service using its existing EVs, a study from the University of Virginia and the University of Texas at Austin tried to estimate the cost of such a service. Those studies came to the conclusion that autonomous rides in a Model 3 would cost about 66 cents per mile. That's about twice as much as public transit in New York City, but significantly cheaper than an existing Uber ride, which generally range between $1 to $2 a mile unless they're in surge pricing. So at first glance, it seems like the math does not work and that the Teslas are going to be about twice the cost of a bus ticket or a public transit pass if and when they finally do come to market with unsupervised self-driving, which is something that obviously is now several years past due. But before we move on, I want to take issue with the first part of Elon's statement saying that buses don't work in colder weather. This is yet another comment in a long line of ridiculous comments from Elon as he tries to pump more and more value into a company that's losing market share by the day. Electric vehicles have outperformed diesel in the extreme cold of the past few winters. A lot of fuss was made this winter. This is an article from March of this year by some Tesla owners in Chicago experiencing difficulty in charging. But that wasn't the experience for the majority of EV owners. And in Colorado's West Grand School District, electric school buses didn't perform as well as their diesel counterparts. They performed better. The town of Kremlin, Colorado is one of the coldest towns in the country, with high altitudes and northern winds combining to drive morning temperatures in the winter more than 30 degrees below zero. And it's precisely in those super cold temperatures that the school district's electric school bus, which they've had since 2020, really shines. What we're seeing is that these buses are doing great in cold weather. They still maintain a battery charge even when it's cold, says EPA Representative Casey Becker. And it's little wonder that the Kremlin School District is pleased with the performance of its electric bus. Even though it is true that EVs experience reduced range in extreme weather conditions, gas and diesel vehicles do as well. And in the case of diesel, the vehicle might not start at all in Colorado's bitter winter cold. So, does the math work? No. Are the claims about buses accurate? No. Should you believe any of it at all? Absolutely not. And that's especially concerning for Tesla shareholders because other car companies are gaining ground. Where Tesla has always been the most popular EV on searches like Cars.com and Cars Direct, that's no longer the case. The F-150 Lightning and Kia's new EV9 have taken that top search spot on Cars.com. Further down the line, GM's EV sales are surging. They've had back-to-back record months, despite the fact that they no longer have that ultra inexpensive Chevy Bolt that can be had for under $25,000. These are expensive vehicles like the Equinox, like the Blazer, like the Silverado that are bridging that gap to the second place Ford and continuing to eat up market share from Tesla. Across the pond, Hyundai looks at Europe as a battleground for EVs, and they want their share of the market there as well. Hyundai Motor Group, including Kia and Genesis, is looking to take advantage of Europe's battleground with plans to expand in the world's second largest EV market. With its Czech Republic plant and new low-cost EVs at the heart of their expansion, Hyundai aims to play a more prominent role in Europe. This is especially important because Chinese manufacturers are opening up new plants so that they can do battle in Europe against Tesla and the Model Y as well. So this is happening all over. And while we're on the topic of Europe, Volvo's EX30 continues its sales surge as Europe's second best-selling EV in August. This is a vehicle that came out of nowhere, had production delays, had issues with tariffs, and it is now the second best-selling EV in Europe behind only the Model Y. According to new data from the European Automobile Manufacturers Association, EV registrations in the EU fell 43% in August compared to last year, as the two biggest markets, Germany and France, saw significant declines. You should not be surprised by this, and this is not an indicator that EV sales are slowing. Last year at this time, there were significant incentives, government incentives, to buy an EV from both Germany and France, and those incentives dropped off in October of last year. So what you're seeing is a ton of people bought those vehicles just ahead of the incentives expiring. They knew the incentives were going to expire. They took advantage of it. So that was an artificially high number. This is an artificially low number. Despite that, Volvo continues to be one of the bright spots as overall vehicle sales climbed 36% with 19,000 vehicles sold last month. Volvo topped Tesla and Fiat to become the 14th largest automaker in the EU, UK, and EFTA countries. Volvo's growth was largely thanks to the new EX30, which added 6,377 sales in total. The growth was enough to become Europe's second best-selling EV. Now, we're not quite done with Volvo news yet. Volvo's subsidiary Polestar just released their Polestar 3. This is their third vehicle in the U.S. market, arguably their first mainstream offering, being a five-passenger crossover SUV. Our own Scooter Dahl had a great chance to drive out to Wyoming, put the vehicle through its paces, and he had a great time. I'm going to read a quick excerpt of a much longer article that is definitely worth your time. In Scooter's words, "My first impression and something I'll probably revisit several times as you read on is how smooth of a ride this SUV delivers. As the Polestar team shared with us during a presentation before, the drive, handling, steering, and performance are at the core of its product identity, alongside other important factors such as range, efficiency, sustainability, and ADAS. The design team put a ton of effort into the abundant and refined body control of the Polestar 3 SUV to deliver a playful but balanced ride it hopes will prepare the youngish brand to status as the first choice for proper drivers due to its precision and distinct road contact. After driving both of these variants, I have to say Polestar knocked it out of the park. I don't know if I've experienced a ride as smooth and as comfortable as the 3, whether I was behind the wheel or riding shotgun with my drive partner. Over here on the right, you can see a number of specs on this vehicle. The long-range dual motor has 489 horsepower. Performance pack bumps that up to 517. 4.8 seconds 0 to 60 on the slow version, 4.5 on the long range, 130 mile an hour top speed, up to 315 miles of range. This is a fantastic car. Check out Scooter's article. It's going to be linked to it in the show notes. Now, finally, we typically like to end these conversations with talk about sustainability, talk about the grid, talk about energy. We're going to change that a little bit today. We're going to talk about politics, your favorite. The House Republicans passed a bill that would kill thousands and increase fuel costs by $100 billion a year. That's according to Jamie Down. This was published late last week. House Republicans passed a bill attempting to block new emission standards that will save thousands of lives and reduce fuel, health, and climate costs for Americans by over $100 billion per year. The bill was voted for by 207 Republicans and 8 Democrats and voted against by 190 Democrats and 1 Republican, Fitzpatrick. The one-sentence bill simply states that the new EPA emission standards shall have no effect. Now, keep in mind, this is that same new EPA emission standard that, when finalized, will save Americans $100 billion in fuel, health, and climate costs per year. That amounts to a total of $6,000 in lifetime savings per new vehicle and cut climate pollution by over 7 billion tons in total as well, avoiding nearly 2,000 early deaths from respiratory illness and heart attacks caused by diesel particulate emissions per year. Even better, one of our favorite parts of the regulation is that it includes a signal that the government is finally going to try to do something about giant pedestrian-killing SUVs, meaning that in the future, we might finally have access to some smaller, safer vehicles after more than a decade of ballooning vehicle sizes and danger with pedestrian deaths and, frankly, C-level paychecks at the auto manufacturers more than doubling in the last decade. So remember, kids, politics are important. Voting is important. Do what Taylor says. Get out there and vote. That's all I've got for you today, 23rd of September. Be sure to like and subscribe if you like what you heard. And if you didn't like it, man, I don't know what to tell you. There's really not a lot in here for you to get upset about. So maybe get that checked out.